Father, I thank you, Father, that for every person in the room and also online that has indicated that they want to receive something fresh from you this morning. So I pray for this beautiful exchange, this impartation that will happen as I minister your word and as we declare your promises in this room this morning and beyond. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I, this morning, want to launch into part two by going after an area that we all struggle with in varying degrees. But what I want to do first is I want to explain and give you my why. Why did I feel incredibly prompted when I was praying about what I should share on? Why did I want to do this series on how to be resilient? Well, God clearly tells us that even though we are Christians, that we will have trouble in this life. No one's surprised to hear this. That we will have trials, that we will have testings and problems while on planet Earth. But he has promised to give us everything we need for this life and for godliness, if we look to him. And remember, last week I talked about picturing an umbrella. And the key to that is to stay under God's covering, stay under his protective power. Because when we stray out of that, when we come out from under that covering, that's when we can hit big trouble and lots of problems. So many of us here today know the Word of God. Some of you have been to Bible college, you've studied theology for many years. But who can relate to this when I say this? You know, applying the truths of God's Word to our life, to my life, and living them out in times of stress can be a huge challenge. So we know God's Word. As I said, some of us know it very, very well. But we don't actually apply it when we get into strife. And so that's really the challenge this morning. I want Real Life Church to be equipped. I want Real Life Church to be strong. And I want Real Life Church to be resilient as we enter into 2022. That's my why. Amen. So what I want to do first is to recap on part one in our series. So first of all, the first thing we need to remember if we want to stay resilient is to have an eternal perspective. Second thing is to live like a pilgrim who is only passing through. Three is to walk in the calling that you have on your life. And number four is to remain daily in his love and promises over your life. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about one of the things that can, if we don't allow it to, can really dominate. So fear can control our whole life if we don't get it under God's control. Fear is our most powerful emotion and the one that motivates us the most. Have you ever noticed whenever an angel appears in the Bible, what's the very first thing the angel says? Fear not. See, so God understands our emotional framework. He knows that we have this propensity to worry and to fear. So when he sends an angel, first thing they say is, fear not, I am with you. Often if you have had a childhood where there's been dysfunction, where you've felt unsafe, where you've had trauma and fear, it can still affect you even today because our mind loves to replay tapes, yeah? So how do we guard against fear ruling our lives? Because we can't remain resilient if we let our fears dominate our thinking every day. So one of the keys to helping us to not let fear dominate is to call to our remembrance the story after story after story in his word of God's faithfulness to his promises all through the Bible, all through history. Let's, for example, look at Abraham this morning. The most important part of Abraham's story is not Abraham, but it's God's faithfulness to care for Abraham. Because even when Abraham tried to take things into his own hands, God still continued to work his plan for Abraham and Sarah. So here's Abraham, called by God to leave his home and be a wandering nomad. And every single day of Abraham's journey, he had uncertainty. There were unexpected things happening all the time. There were many obstacles that came his way. And what we find in this story with Abraham is that Abraham had an idea in his mind of how he thought this was going to play out, but it happened a completely different way. Anybody relate to that this morning? And it took longer than he would have liked. Anyone relate to that this morning? But God did what he promised and provided for Abraham. And, you know, reading these stories shows us that God is a God that can be completely trusted to do what he promises and provide what we need. Now, while our future, and we can't predict our future, but while our future may seem uncertain to us, the future is never uncertain to God. He has our back. He's got it sorted. The second thing to remember when we find that fear is dominating our hearts and minds is that just because something didn't happen the way we wanted it to or the way we imagined it should do, it doesn't mean that God has turned his face from us, has forgotten us. He hasn't left us. On the contrary, what God is actually doing is he's working in and through everything in our lives, even when it feels like, God, where are you? Again, we can turn to the biblical story for evidence and comfort. Now, Israel was promised a Messiah, but that Messiah took hundreds of years to finally come. However, as God reminds them through the prophet Jeremiah, he gives this encouragement in Jeremiah to say, don't worry, the Messiah's coming. And he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And he puts that in the book of Jeremiah to remind the people of Israel, I know you feel like it's a long time coming, but the Messiah is actually on his way. And the future and the hope that finally came was in his son Jesus. But what happens is God works through normal everyday circumstances to bring about his plans for our lives. You know, most days are pretty ordinary, aren't they? You know, and we do kind of the same old. But even in that, God works through those everyday circumstances. He does his most important work in us. And so what happened was that the plan, he had this plan, and it was through Jesus, the incarnate Son, that the Messiah came. What a magnificent plan that was. The Bible tells us that while our knowledge is limited, and, you know, so often we try and fathom and try and figure out God. Can I encourage you? Please don't go there. Because God's knowledge and his power and his wisdom are far beyond our understanding. God's work is often hidden from us and is brought about in ways that we couldn't have anticipated or even seen coming. And I just want to share with you this morning the story of from the previous church that I was at for 25 years. Well, the founding pastor of that church was a guy called Jim McCourt, Pastor Jim McCourt, who started Willerton Assemblies of God Church in the Bill Cole Centre, that is very different now than it was then. It was just a hired hall that had parties the night before and had to be very well cleaned up before church could occur. And so this church was founded in Willerton, and they had been meeting in a hired hall but were looking to buy a warehouse in Willerton as their new church building. Then, seemingly on an ordinary day, when Pastor Jim McCourt was praying, he felt the Lord say to him to buy this land in Canning Vale, bearing in mind that this was almost 40 years ago, yeah? And what was in Canning Vale was nothing. It was completely deserted. And so there was nothing residential there. There was a few properties, and it was more kind of like that farming type feel. For those of you who were around then, you'll remember what Canning Vale was like. So Pastor Jim takes his board to this random piece of dirt, and he says to them, I believe God has told us to buy this land and build a church. Well, they looked at him like he was completely nuts. And they go, but nobody lives here. It's out in the sticks. And he said, I know. I know this is completely left field. I know this is unexpected. But God, this is what God has told me. And you know, God can be at work and we don't even realise it. Because what happened was the church board trusted God and trusted Pastor Jim, and that church was built by one of the boat sheds, the New Zealand boat shed from the America's Cup that had been bought a few years earlier. They recreated that boat shed and it became Perth Christian Life Centre. And so some of you already know that story. But fast forward 30, 40 years, and today on exactly that same block of, you know, land in the sticks, there is a Kingdom City church with over 3,000 people there, and the church is flourishing. Who would ever have expected way back then that Canning Vale would become one of the fastest growing residential areas in the Southern Hemisphere over those following years? I live in Canning Vale, and it goes way beyond now. Canning Vale goes way out to all the other suburbs that have been built out there. And, you know, out of that, many, many of those residents that God knew were going to be living there have come to Christ. Isn't that fantastic? God absolutely knows what he is doing. But one thing I think that a lot of us struggle with is that we want everything instantly. But God will do it in his way and his time. And for anyone who has got into an argument with God about this, you know he always wins, because he's going to do it in his way and in his time, in accordance with his divine plan and purpose for each one of us. So what is our role in this? What is our job in this? Is to cooperate and remind ourselves that he is indeed the potter and we are the clay. And so my husband was talking to me about this particular analogy, and I want to share it with you this morning in relation to this. Jesus is the master stonemason chipping away at a piece of stone, which of course represents us. That piece of stone represents each one of us. He knows exactly what chips he needs to take out of that piece of stone to design us for our specific purpose. But as he's chipping away, we don't know, nor can we see what the ultimate result will be that he has in mind. And it's so easy for us to have all of these strong opinions about his craftsmanship, and maybe not like the particular pieces of stone he has chosen to discard. But it's not until we start to see the exact shape he is working on that we can reflect back on his crafting and see that each piece he chipped was the right one for the final design. Amen? Sometimes we want to snatch the tool off Jesus, the master stonemason, and do the work for him because, you know, I know so much better. But the truth is that he knew what was best the whole time from beginning to end. And all we need to do, Real Life Church, is take our hands off and trust him. You know, and this morning, I just feel prophetically that there's some of you that need to remind yourself that you can trust him and you're holding on tight. You're trying to hold on and control your life and hold on like a vice grip. God's saying, would you please take your hands off and let me do what I need to do? Trust me. I've got your back. To be resilient, you need to clarify your calling and know your purpose. If you feel today, you might be sitting there and think, well, Bethwyn, that's all great, but I don't know what my calling and purpose is. This is what you need to do. You need to get alone with God, who is your father and your friend, and ask him to show you clearly. So this is what it looks like. You make sure you have a notebook and your Bible, maybe a laptop. And as your thoughts start to form, write down what you feel God's saying to you. Do that several times. Don't just do it once and, aha, I've got it all. Keep doing that and make sure you're on the right track with what you are hearing. Then what you do is that when you feel like you've heard from God, you actually take it to somebody who you can trust at Real Life Church or other Christian friends who you know are trustworthy and strong in the word and faith and say, look, this is what I feel like God is saying to me. What do you think? Yeah? And you can pray together with that person. If you're in a connect group, take it to your connect group leader. But can I say that your calling, as I said last week, is not a title, it's not a position. So often we think that our calling has to have a title. I want to share with you this morning about some very precious long-term friends of mine. And one guy, some of you may even know him, is called Charles Waller. And he used to go around our whole church. All he did was he just loved on people, gave them words of encouragement, and he would call people up during the week and just check on people and see how they were doing. Do you know, he didn't have a title because he didn't need a title. He knew what he was called to do and to be. His influence was extensive and he helped many, many people. But not just in church. He didn't just do that in church. What he did was he did it in his workplace. He did it in his neighbourhood. And through his calling, through his purpose, countless lives were saved and transformed through that calling on his life. I saw Charles yesterday and he's just turned 70. And he continues to fulfil that calling just as passionately as he has always done. He doesn't boast about it. He doesn't shout about it. He doesn't try and get a title. He just goes about doing what he knows his purpose is on planet Earth. There is another wonderful friend of mine called Maggie Stenhouse. She has a calling on her life for intercession. And God would often lay specific people on her heart to pray for extended periods of time. And at times she'd be prompted to call them and give them a prophetic encouragement. And time after time she would share with me that as she had been interceding for them, when she rang them, they'd actually been going through something really like a testing or a trial. And what she shared with them from the heart of God was what they desperately needed to hear. And once again, Maggie did not just do this in our church. She did it in her school where she taught. She often would privately talk to the staff and the principal and tell them she was praying for them. Her influence was immense. She was not bothered about any title. She knew what she was called to do and to be. Now, don't think that every calling has to be look spiritual. Because I have a friend called Cornelia Ramsamy who was called to hospitality. She had a God-given passion to cook and present the most tasty, delicious food at all of the various events that we used to put on at my old church. She also happened to be Pastor David Storer's personal PA. That really wasn't a big deal. It was more about the hospitality gift that she had on her life. She flourishes in this God-given ministry. Amen? Ephesians 4 verses 1 to 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And, you know, it's so important to know what you are called to do and to be. Otherwise, you will spend the whole of your Christian life going around without a clear focus. You can be distracted. You can be doing all of these good things, but completely worn out because you're not doing what you're really called to do. So you need to focus on what matters most. Deliberately move towards your purpose. This might even look for some of you like further Bible studies or asking experienced godly people in our church to go out for a coffee with you and be able to talk about this in a really personal way. And don't give up easily if things don't go immediately how you thought they might. Be persistent, be determined, be focused. Don't flit about and dabble in a million different areas, trying this and trying that. But know what your calling in life is, yeah? So far, this is the evidence we've collected on how to remain resilient. Are you ready? Have an eternal perspective. Live like a pilgrim who is only passing through. Walk in the calling you have on your life. Remain daily in his love and promises. Don't let fear dominate your thoughts. And clarify your calling and know your purpose. Now, this is probably, if I was to call it, the big kahuna of our resilience series. Are you ready? Have I got your, are you with me?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Jesus took time to be alone with God and get refreshed in the spirit part of him. You know what Jesus did? He frequently left the crowd to seek solitude. Sometimes we struggle to sit still for 5 minutes. But what we need to do is to lean in and listen to the voice of our Heavenly Father. For me, I find putting worship music on in the background can really help me to lean in and hear what God is saying. And you know, without even realizing it, we can get completely out of touch with what his voice sounds like, let alone leaning into what he is trying to say to us. For example, we can allow ourselves to become fearful and let that fear actually dominate our whole day. Maybe we've heard some breaking news, but if we are able to pull ourselves to one side, seek some quiet time, some solitude, his still small voice will come to you and reassure you that everything's going to be okay. despite what you've heard, we can, through actually pulling ourselves to one side, we can get back to a place where God's peace is ruling in our hearts and our minds. Now, my final point, to stay resilient, get into a small group for support. God never intended for us to handle stress on our own. We all need the help of others. Mark 3:14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Jesus is our model in that he was always in close relationship with fellow believers. You know, Jesus actually enjoys our company. Yeah? He actually loves us to come and spend time with him, just like he did when he walked the earth with his disciples and other Christian people. And what happened was they were able to draw strength from one another. They were able to draw strength from being together. He ate meals with them. He hung out with them. He laughed with them. And together, they cheered each other on in their specific callings. Jesus needed a small group of people around him for support. Matthew 26:38. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked. Right next to you or near you, there are people in this church who can help you. You know, stress is increasing in our culture and we need to run our race together and stay resilient, drawing strength, drawing wisdom and encouragement from each other's company. So can I encourage you this year to get into a small group, a connect group here at Real Life Church? But it's really important that if you do try, that it's not with your agenda or a set of criteria that the group has to meet for you to join. Go with an open heart to give away from yourself. Be a contributor, not a consumer. Jesus carried the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders, but yet he was able to live stress-free. How did he pull that off? Matthew 11:28 to 29. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." How did he do it? How did he maintain his resolve and his resilience? Well, this is how Jesus did it, and he is our model this morning. He had an eternal perspective. He lived his life like a pilgrim who was only passing through. He walked in the calling he had on his life. He remained daily in his Father's love. And he didn't let fear dominate his thoughts. He knew his calling and he knew his purpose. And he moved towards that. He recharged his spirit to stay resilient. And he did life in a small group. It may not look exactly like our connect groups, but it was still technically a connect group, a small group. You know, I'm a realist and as well as a person with faith, and I don't expect that all of you are going to apply all of the things that I've talked about over the last 2 weeks. But can I encourage you this morning that even if you just take one or two of these keys that I have shared with you on resilience, there will be a strength that comes into your life. Maybe you feel at the moment like your Christian walk is very wobbly and wavy. Take a couple of these keys and apply them daily to your own faith walk. What Jesus is offering every one of us who wants to live a resilient life is he wants to come and take your burdens, your worries and your fears, and he wants to carry them for you. And we know this because his word says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so what he wants to do is, it doesn't mean that you don't have huge major things still happening. He doesn't take those away. But what he does is he carries them for you. And he gives you these keys on how to live light.